First Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we're going to start at the 4th verse. It says there, now there are diversities of gifts of the same Spirit. There are differences in administrations of the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Let me read that again. Now there are diversities or divisions of God's gifts of grace, but the same Spirit. There are differences or divisions of effects divisions of services, but the same Lord. And there are divisions of operations or effects, but it's the same God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all operate to energize the body in all the gifts. If you know it or not, each member of the body of Christ has a gift, a talent that God has placed within you to edify, to build up the body of Christ. Come on, give God some praise. So that there are no big I's and little U's. It's just like my human body. There's some organs that are featured because they're bigger and you can hear them, like the heart. I can put my hand on my heart and I know it's there because I can feel it beating. I know about my lungs because I'm taking breaths. But there's other parts of the body that are just important and you don't see them. You don't know they're there unless maybe a doctor or something puts you up on an x-ray. But God in His infinite wisdom has placed them in there and talking about us in the midst of the body, whether someone might notice them or not. Now, let's continue on. Go to verse 29. Now, so we've just established about the body of Christ and how the body of Christ operates. It operates by the power of God. And God's talking about He's given some the word of wisdom, some the word of knowledge, some prophecy, some healing, some miracle, some gifts of faith. But it's all the same body and it's all the same God. Now, 29, it says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now he says, oh, go back to 11, 12, and 11. He said, but all these work at that one and self by that one and self same Spirit, dividing to each man severally as he will. In other words, God gives you the talent that He thinks you ought to have. He gives you the gift that He thinks you ought to have. Some people are close to God. When God says, boo, they're there. And other folks, God got, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. The one that's there, attentive, God's going to move for that one because that one is attentive to His ear. Now, He don't love the other one that's not, but He's going to respond mostly to the one that moves. So now, once again, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Now, the next verse, let's read 31. It said, but covet the best gift. I'm going to stop right there. Sounds like a contradiction, because he says, covet the best gift, but over in 11, he says, but all these work that one itself, same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. So in other words, God gives you the thing, so that the gifts that He wants you to have, so this, but covet the best gift might mean something else. Goes right back up to that question again, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? What he means there, he says, now, this is what it says. It says, we're covered to get gift, but the translation is, now I know that that folks are eager for the best gift so that they might become the most honorable person in the church. Where'd you get that one from? Because I was asking the Lord, I was like, Lord, why'd you take me over this way? He said, remember what you've heard. I told the Sunday school class about this one individual. I just happened to turn the TV set on. And he called himself the Master Prophet. I was like, what? The Mr. Prophet. I'm like, what a title. Even Jesus didn't call himself that. In fact, he said, why callest thou me good? He said, there's only one good but the Messiah. I cut him. I was like, man, no, man, let me clip or something there. Yeah, yeah. But then it began to bug me. Why is this guy calling himself the Master Prophet? So once then, I just happily flicked the dial and he was back on. And so he had a guest on the show, and all of a sudden it got to the end of the show, and he said, brother, I want you to tell me, why didn't you call yourself the Master Prophet? So here's the answer. God gave me the answer that I want. And he said, I call myself the Master Prophet because I've been prophesying for over 30 years. I'm like, what? This is like Chrysler, man. So you get a gold watch after 30 years. I said, oh. So guys, remember, now here's one who's calling himself Master Prophet. Why? So that he can be seen. Then you have others in the body talking about, watch what I do.
All right.
Wait for me. My turn's coming as far as this. Everybody's going to see me. Sounds like Jack Nicholson when in 1989 Batman. Wait till they get a load of me. But let's read on. He said, but covet the best gifts. He said, yet I show you a more excellent way. That's the title of the message. A more excellent way. Not dependent upon the gifts. Brother Kenneth Hagin said it like this. He said, you cannot build a ministry on spiritual gifts alone. Use the word. The word always works. So therefore, this excellent way is going to show us. Let's just go right to it. Go to the next chapter. You build your ministry on the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came down and took him on a fleshly body and dwelt among us to explain the Father to us, because even though they had sent Moses and all of these others, these folks had lost their way. And God had Jesus explain the Father to them so that they might receive him, because they had lost their way. Now, 13:1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I could speak with all the languages of the world, and even the language of angels, but I don't have charity.
Come on.
He says, I'm just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That word charity is talking about agape, the love of God, which knows no bounds, which knows no creed, which knows no color. God created us all in his image, after his likeness.
Yes.
All sprang from one, but we all sprang from God himself. So that love he's talking about is his love.
Yes.
So though I speak with these tongues, I can speak with the heavenly language, I can speak with an earthly language, but if I don't have the love of God directing me in it, I'm just making a whole lot of noise. Making a whole lot of noise. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and can understand without effort all the mysteries, the word of wisdom working in my life, showing me the doctrine, all knowledge, the word of knowledge, by my study, God giving it to me, and though I have faith so implanted, faith, not a saving faith, but faith that I can move a mountain, and I don't have the love of God, I'm nothing.
Say it.
So what he's saying right here is, it's not dependent upon the gift that I have.
All right.
It's dependent upon the love of God that is in my life. Let's move on. Verse 3, it says, and though I bestow, I give away and dole all my goods to feed the poor. And if I give my body to be burned, I deliver it up to be burned for my religion. And I don't have charity. Now, it may profit somebody else, but it don't profit me nothing.
Right.
I'm just a burnt body. I'm nothing. I'm just making a whole lot of noise. Go to jump down to 8. It says, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Thus shall be brought to nothing. Now, there's two thoughts on that. We're going to get to the one a lot of folks think about getting prophesied to.
Teach, brother.
Teach.
Two ways prophecy fails. First way, man or woman of God is a true man or woman of God. They give me a true word from God out of their mouth, and I don't obey that word, then that prophecy is going to fail in my life.
Yes.
Second word, if that so-called man or woman of God is speaking out of their own mouth. And not according to this. Because the Bible talks about false prophets. And if there's a false prophet, that means it can be a false teacher, false pastor, false evangelist, false apostle. If they're false and they said, thus saith the Lord, and God has not given them leave to speak, that prophecy is going to fall.
Yes.
So you, once again, you got to know the word for yourself so that you don't depend on one of these folks that want to be the big shot. Because that's what they want the gifts for. That's why he said covet the best gift. Now they want the gift so that they can be the most honored one in the church so folks can look up at it. That's what they want it for. They won't pass the job. But you, do you know what he had to go through to get that job?
Yeah. Blood of the Lamb.
I see some of them. I wouldn't want it. I didn't even want the job I got. I want to be where y'all at, sitting out there enjoying somebody getting up here and preach. Our brother know that we went through it with the prophet. We went through it. I told God, I don't want to have nothing to do with ministry. Lord, I serve you, but I don't want to have nothing to do with ministry. Because it's hard. It's hard. Folks, I'm about prestige and honor and all of those things. There's a cost to the ministry. Count the cost. I remember my daddy said, count the cost. He said, what does that mean? He was talking. He said, that means you lose your house. You lose your car. You lose your friends. You lose your family. Just count it up. And what happened? Within about 6 months' time, we lost the house. We lost the car. We lost the friend. We lost the family. We didn't lose Christ. Christ was still there. But all of those other things, you lost. The question is that a prestigious position? Is it worth you going through? Are you going to pay the price for it? But it's an exalted position. See, we got an exalted position whether you know it or not. If you're in the body of Christ, you have an exalted position. Because when God gives out a ministry, no matter what it is second to none because it comes from God himself, and God does not give out secondhand junk. So what I have to do is I have to perfect the ministry that God gives me.
Hallelujah.
He's the apostle and pastor. I don't try to walk in that. That's his job. I got my job. I teach. That's what I do. I teach. I don't try to preach like him or Pastor Rutherford. I do my job so that God can use me. In other words, the heart doesn't do the lungs' job, and the lungs don't do the heart's job.
All right.
So that all of the body can flow together. That's what God wants. He wants a harmony in the body so there's no jealousy, no schism, no this for talking about that. Who they think they are? They just got in here and all of a sudden they're already doing something. Maybe they heard God from the outside when they came in and said, don't get a seat. Go in there and try to get busy with what I got for you to do.
Hallelujah.
Never mind what other folks say. So let me tell you something. Everybody is not going to like what you do.
Right.
I might as well say it. Pastors come up before. Teaching was not a good subject, if you can say that.
Yeah.
Teaching. It was not good around here. Let's tell you just like it is. Five-fold ministry. Pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher. You say teacher's a little finger. What they tried to do, they did the finger like this. God showed them about ministry, though. He let something break out in the church that only the teacher could put out. Because God established the ministry. So what I have to do is I have to, once again, study to know my part. If God does prophesy to me, I'm still not dependent upon the man. I'm dependent upon God. He said that you not need to depend on a man to teach you the secrets of God. I thank God for this man, because what he did for me was he taught me how to study. That's what he's supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to get you in a position where you can go to God for yourself. Yeah, we're to edify, we're to build up, we're to comfort and do all of those things and pray with you and all of that and counsel you. But you have to get to a position where you can go to God for yourself, because there's going to be times when you're not going to be able to get him. And me, we're not going to even talk about me with phones. Put it like this, me and the phone, it's like the old Batman TV show. Only the commissioner could get it. He had to hit the red light. He had to hit the button, otherwise the button don't call. But I'm making a joke, but we have to get into the things of God. And here the biggest thing, once again, is love. That's what he's talking about. So now let's get on the second. He said, for whether there be prophecy, there shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Why? Because there's going to come a point in time when these things are no longer necessary. That's what God is trying to teach us. He said, ninth verse, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But then when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. We know in part, but we prophesy in part. We only know in part because of this present life. Because I've got this flesh nature. And it's in there battling against the knowledge of God. It will make, when things don't go right, it will make me question God. When is God going to, and I've been going through this for 20 years, when is God going to move? God said he's going to move. He's not a man that he should lie. I have to wait on it. But this thing will cause me to question. This thing will cause me to doubt when I see God or when I hear the word of God. That's why we can only know in part, because of this present life. We are not fully able to comprehend it because of this life. Paul got the revelation. He tried to get rid of it. He asked the Lord three times to get rid of it. Can't get rid of it. Pastor Bellum was talking about choking it out. You can't choke it out, because if you choke it, you're going to choke you.
Right.
So he's in there. But God has given us the victory over him, and it's through the word. But we only know in part, we prophesy in part. But one is, like I said, once again, we can't not at this present time know them fully. But then when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be brought to naught. In other words, and it puts it like this, let's go and read verse 11. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I was interested in what a child is interested in. Children are interested in themselves. Okay? That's what they're interested in. They're interested in their fun, their whatever. That's the way a child understands. I reasoned as a child. But when I became an adult, and here's talking about an honorable adult, I put away the child's sin. So God is getting us, letting us know that these things right now, these gifts and all this stuff everybody's concerned with, they're going to pass away. It's like being a child with the gifts when you the perfection of God comes on, then we grow up. We're not going to need those things.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not going to need those things. Where's Spanky at? He here?
Yeah.
And here's the other thought. This goes back to what I was talking about. Come here, Spanky. Come here. Come here, buddy. Come on.
Spanky.
Come here. Now you shy now. Everybody knows Spanky. Okay? And remember it was a couple of weeks ago, Spanky wasn't here. We got to ask, where is he at? Well, somebody must have told him when he got home that they missed you. When he came back, he visited everybody in the church. He made sure that he flipped and dipped and fell and ran and grabbed everybody to let everybody know that he was back. Remind me of that, what's that, Martin? Guess who's back? And that's another child being childish. Because when you're a mature individual in the things of God, nobody has to see you do your job.
Right.
You don't have to do a flip or a dip
right.
to know the love of God is there.
Right.
Hey, you know that. Thank you. And that's the thing about childishness. We don't get so caught up in ourselves and our situation and our circumstances that God has blessed us that we go overboard with it. Because some people get where to the point where I can only associate with Brother Tony. I can only associate with the musicians. Rest of y'all. It clicks and stuff in the church. See, it's going to click in the body, in this body here. Otherwise, it's going to die. Something's going to work right, eventually he's going to get sick and he's going to die. Therefore, in the same instance, the body of Christ has to work together. Each and every member has to work by the same agape, this love that's irrespective of rights and irrespective of color. It has to work throughout the body so that we become a mature man in Christ. We all become the mature. Not me and then him. It's only one body. It's only one Christ. It's not a different Christ. It's only one head. He flows down into us and we flow back up into him.
Yeah.
We communicate together. And by that, we draw strength from one another. Every joint supplies every other joint in the body of Christ. So I just don't draw strength from Jesus. I draw strength from Brother Andy. I draw strength from my brother here. I draw strength from you when I see you in there. I draw strength when I see you lift up your hand. I draw strength when you shake my hand. I draw strength when you got a smile on your face. That's the way the word of God works. That's the way the body works. Come on and give God some praise. 12 verse, it says, "For we see through a glass darkly." We don't understand all we see right now in the things of God. Once again, because of this flesh nature. It's a riddle to us. But in the life to come, it says face to face. "For we see through a glass darkly. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known." Face to face, I shall see clearly, face to face, the things of God. All the things of God. This is going to be taken away.
Yeah.
The nature with it is going to be taken away so that I can see God clearly. And then I shall know all these things. I shall fully know all these things of God, even as God knows me fully right now. Now, let's continue on. It says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These things are necessary to our state and our standing in God. But the greatest of these is charity." Let's prove that out. The greatest of these is charity. Fourth verse. "Charity suffers long and is kind." The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. And you have to be gracious to those that injure you.
Yes.
You got to be gracious to those that injure you. Why? Because it's all about souls. You know what I found out? When it comes to this word, you know, we get all emotional things. God don't care nothing about my emotional state when it comes to his word. He don't care. The only thing he wants me to do is get the job done. He's not interested in my excuses. So it suffers long. It's long-suffering. It's kind. Charity doesn't envy. Those that might have more money than I have. Those that might have greater personality. Those that are just better and gentle in life. I don't envy them. Charity doesn't envy them. Charity doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't brag about its accomplishments or its attainments. I got this in God, and I got that in God. Yeah, when I go to the brown shade. You know folks do that.
Yeah.
Can't even get to work. You know, what's it about? They speaking. They didn't do that back then. They greeted each other. In other words, we're trying to prove how spiritual. You can't prove to me how spiritual you are unless you're doing the book. The pattern is the book. When I look into the book, then I will see the pattern in the book. Envy is not. Go to 2 Corinthians 10th chapter right quick. You know, we don't have too much time. 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, 12th verse. You got me talking about bragging and boasting. Everybody have to say amen.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 10 and 12. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." Some that pat themselves on the back. Apostle Paul said, we stay away from those folks. But they measuring themselves by themselves. In other words, they're their own standard. And comparing themselves among themselves, that's not wise.
No.
Once again, I don't compare myself with the pastor. I don't compete with him. It's not a competition. Brother Tony also said something. He was talking about, he was watching one of those gospel shows where they were competing for a prize. And one group got up and sang. And when they got down, the other group got up and maybe they were sounding a little bit better than the other group. And instead of cheering them on, they over there sit. They put the camera on them. They over there with their lips poked out. These are brothers and sisters. You got your lips poked out against your brothers and sisters. There's no competition in the body of Christ. It's only one body. So, what I can say, in whatever job that God has given you, I'm going to try to help you. If I can't help you, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get out of the way. Because guess what? You know what's back in that ministry? God is back in that ministry. And I don't want to be in the way of the train when it's coming across the track. Because that gate is let down when God said, touch my, not my anointed. The gate just went down and the lights is flashing and it's playing. And you step out on that track. So we don't do that. We don't compare ourselves with ourselves, or I compare me and my little group over here going to compare ourselves to that group over there. A lot of that stuff is going on. You, certain ones you couldn't even be around, couldn't touch them. Spirit of God move, they sitting there with their arms folded. I got this, in other words, God put me in a position to see this. Flesh running through the church. Flesh, that's an attitude. So I'm going to clear those attitudes up. Now, let's go back. So charity suffers long. It's kind. It doesn't envy people. It doesn't brag about itself. It's not puffed up. It's not puffed up with pride or anger. against one or anybody else. Some folks come to church angry. Like God hadn't done nothing for them.
Right. Man.
Like, man, we breathing his air.
Right.
And he didn't, I mean, we didn't put this air down here. Right. He put it down here so we could breathe. Stuff nice, we got, you know, man, God let man create some nice stuff that we can have.
Yeah.
Now, whether you got nice stuff or not, we can still, I can still give God.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Just for the air I'm breathing. Let me tell you something, I don't have a lot of stuff, but I can still give God praise because he gave me the gift of praise, gift there is, and it's the salvation. So let me tell you, I may suffer through this life, but I got a life that's coming, and I'm going to be victorious in this life, whether I got a pocket full of money or not, whether I'm driving the best car or not, it don't matter, because God's still on the throne, so it don't matter. I'm going to give God praise in spite of my circumstances. Can they let me know how you a diabetic and you all this and that? I still begin to give God praise. I didn't have no medicine to take care of it. I still gave God the praise. When it was my time and the pastor called upon me, I considered it an honor and a privilege. I didn't tell him, don't be, but I don't want to be bothered. I'm going through. I gave God the praise. Why? Because I know he's the only one that can heal me. In spite of my circumstances of me going through what I got, he's still the healer. He's still the way out. He's still the light. Come on and give God some more praise. Hallelujah. Let me hurry up so we get out of here. Hallelujah. Fifth verse. It does not behave itself unseemly.
Yes, that's right.
Make it plain. I'm a man. Ladies, I'm your brother.
Right.
Treat you like a lady.
Amen. Amen.
Not coming out of this mouth with any dirty jokes.
Right.
Or anything that is ungodly.
Amen.
A lot of folks come in there and they slip back. They forget. This is the old man in there.
Yeah, all right.
And you give him a cake, he'll tell a dirty joke. He don't care. Right in church.
Come on.
Don't make him no different. The love of God constrains that so that I don't offend my brothers and my sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
So it don't behave unseemly. It don't seek its own. In other words, I'm going to seek my interest. Oh, pastor comes to tell me about a plan for the ministry. I ain't studying that, man. I can't get with that. They on their own, man. I got my own stuff. That's what a lot of people think. That's what they do. Yeah, okay. Or they'll say, yeah, man. Yeah, that sounds good. As soon as they get out of his presence. Seek it not our own. It's not easily provoked to anger. In fact, it says it's not moved by every little thing. Some folks is moved by every little thing. You park in a spot, they move. You sitting in their seat. Pastor didn't shake their head when they went to the offering line. They moved. Pastor got something on his mind, so he didn't speak to you right away. They moved. That's just talking about children. Children do that when you don't pay attention. That's what children do. We're supposed to be grown. If he don't say nothing to me, hey, he busy. She don't say nothing to me, they're busy. I come back to her, hey sis, how you doing? Everything all right? I'm not going about my business. Pray for her. You don't know what is on them. You don't know what's on an individual. That's what the love of God is all about, so that we share that love that we got to comfort them. So then guess what? He don't have to worry about me. In other words, he's juggling this. Now you give him another ball to juggle. Now you got to juggle another one.
All right.
So it's not easily provoked. It don't think evil.
Amen.
Tony, here, I'm going to use you for example. Tony, you in the trouble you in, dude, because you did it wrong. I know he did it wrong.
Right.
You going through stuff, Tony. You, You and the devil, y'all done teamed up. That's what people think. You may not verbalize it, but I think people think. And then you get around those that you got the same mindset that like you talk.
Yeah,
you know, you're they thought they was the anointed one, and all this and that. And the thing that went down, see, I knew they was full of the devil. That's the way people think. Love don't think like that.
Right.
It does not rejoice in iniquity. In other words, when I see somebody do bad, some folks, they do that. They rejoice in it. It said, but it's rejoice in the truth. Or they'll rejoice in somebody telling a lie or somebody else.
All right.
Yeah, that one thought they was all that. Somebody tell a lie. I knew that was true. You don't know it or not. Let me tell you something. When I hear things, whether it's good or bad, first of all, when I hear bad things about people, I don't believe it. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be, and that means credible witnesses.
I know that. All right.
Well,
because
everybody's not a credible witness. It talks about those that gave bore false witness in the Old Testament, God, how he dealt with them. Credible witness. Okay, so it's found out to be true. Now what I do? I'm going to pray for them.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to restore them.
Amen.
Because that's what God does.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to make it worse.
All right.
Restore them. So it rejoices. And when the truth comes out about it, it rejoices in the truth.
Yeah.
It rejoices in the true things of God.
Yes.
With a good man in every virtuous act. Now, let's go on. We're almost done. It bears all things. That means it covers things. Somebody makes a mistake, cover it up. I mean an error. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about an error. They make a mistake. You cover it up. You cover them. Cover their failures.
Amen.
They made a mistake like everybody does.
All right.
Yes.
It believeth all things. That means it entrusted and won't tell your business.
Amen.
Somebody tell you something, whether it's a pastor or not, they tell you as a brother or sister in God and trust you with that knowledge, whether they are born again or not, that knowledge is not supposed to be spread.
Amen.
Hopeth all things. Hopeth that all things are good about other people.
Right.
It endures all things. It stands up under pressure. It remains behind after others have left. That's how much a lot of times in ministry, God giving you a ministry, you have to uphold it and stand up even when others don't do their part. Continues to stand up under the ridicule. I've seen my pastor stand up under ridicule and continue to preach the gospel.
Amen.
A lot of the things that I'm doing now, I'm able to do is because I saw him do it. I saw him bear up under criticism, false criticism. I saw when they lied on him, and how he stood up when they mistreated him, and he stood up when they misused him, and he stood up.
Amen.
He stood up. Now, I'm bragging on the God that I saw
in
him. That's what I'm talking about. The love of God, the love for the ministry that will cause you to bear up under things when it's not your fault. When you didn't have nothing to do with a situation,
right,
but the thing is, it falls apart, they blaming you for it.
Right.
You got to stand up for it.
Amen.
You got to stand up under it.
Amen.
I'm done now. I want to go back over and read the fourth verse again, and then we're done. That last one says, charity never fails. Now let's go back over those four verses. What I told you before was general. This is personal. Jesus suffereth long and is kind.
Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus don't envy. Jesus didn't brag about what he did when he gave all the glory to the Father. Jesus was not puffed up, because let me tell you something, if he would have been puffed up, I wouldn't be saved. Jesus did not behave unseemly. That's why he had all the women around. Now they accused him a whole lot of them, but those women loved him because he showed the love of God. Jesus didn't seek his own way. Jesus didn't stay amongst his own. They was against women back in those days. Jesus liberated them. They were against the Samaritans back then. He preached life to the Samaritan. He didn't seek his own, but he sought everybody.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus was not easily provoked.
Come on. Hallelujah.
He didn't get mad at me and stay mad because I messed up and I failed. That's the love of God, because he is love. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Jesus didn't think no evil about me. When he was at the well with the woman, he told her about himself, but she was so impressed with his love, she brought her whole family back. He exposed everything about it, and but he did it in such a way that it showed the love of God. She brought her whole family. Because it's the love of God. Jesus don't rejoice in iniquity. But Jesus is the truth. Jesus covered up all my mistakes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And when
For surely I am he that was and is to come. In this last day, know that I am the Lord God still, saith God. For in the midst of all of your trials and your troubles, understand that there is no weapon that could possibly be formed or created against you that shall have the ability to prosper over you. But I tell you, my children, my men and women of God, stand fast and be unmovable, abounding, increasing in the work of the Lord, through the word of God, because it shall be the word that shall keep you delivered. It shall be the word of God that shall keep you strengthened. It shall be the word of God that shall keep the joy that you need in your life. For I say unto thee as a people, make sure, my people, study to show yourselves approved, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, but you have the ability to rightly divide the word of truth, so that you are not tricked or seduced by prophecy or by such sayings as men would say over thee. Therefore, know the truth, for the truth shall make you free. And the only way you shall know the truth is to study the word that I have given unto thee. Let it be live and living in your heart and in your soul, and you shall see those things that others cannot see. You shall hear those things that others cannot hear, because I shall open it up unto thee, and you shall look past the flesh and the natural and see the spiritual and the supernatural as it upholds my truth and upholds my concepts and my precepts. For surely I have a people that shall stand up in the earth despite their trials or their tribulations or their circumstances, and proclaim that I am Lord, not with their mouths but with their lives. Because there shall endure good soldiers of my son, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he beareth all things, he believeth all things, he is the hope, he endured all things for us.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And Jesus never fails. So whatever position that God has called you to, you may be the priest or the priestess of your household. Be faithful to that which God has given you.
Amen.
Don't worry about others. Don't compare yourself with us, because God picked you out. He came to you personally and save you and give you the gift of eternal life. That's the greatest gift that we can have. Come on, give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus, for being such a loving God. You showed us the way is love. Come on and give the Lord some more praise. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Merciful God, mighty God, wonderful God, awesome God. Hallelujah, magnificent God, majestic God, hallelujah, omnipotent God, omnipresent God, eternal God, everlasting God, the one who is forever. Come on and give him the
in the mighty and the miraculous name of Jesus. Father, we're looking and expecting with great faith miracles to open up in our lives. Father, we know that miracles are when you intervene into the affairs of mankind. So, Father, we thank you in advance for intervening into our affairs, working out our situations and our circumstances. Lord God, giving us the strength to make it through our trials and the tribulation. Father, giving us the love of God that we might withstand all the onslaught of the enemy as they come to fight against us and to afflict and to persecute. But Father, we are your children. We are the love that you have created and that you have manifested. For we are love children. We are love gifts, Father, because you are love. And no man can say he loves you and not his brother. But Father, teach us to love one another with your love, with your compassion, with your peace, with your mercy. Father, you teach us with your grace, Father. Lord God, as we study this word and we walk in this word, that we might have greater understanding beyond measure. Lord God, that we might yield the presence of God in the lives of those that are lost and discouraged. But Father, we know that there is a many-membered body that you are raising up even right now. And Father, these that are here, I pray that you would touch their bodies and touch their minds. Father God, minister to them in a supernatural way. Father, as we yield ourselves unto thee willingly, Lord God. Lord God, as we suffer, Lord God, but we suffer with grace, we suffer in mercy, we suffer with joy, because we know, Lord God, that we can only be as great as the one who died that we might live, Lord God. So we suffer with grace, and we shall come forth as pure gold, Father, and our lives shall be as beacons of light, because we have stood the test, we have stood through the trials, we have stood in the midst of the rains and the storm, and still lifted up our hands and glorified you from the very depths of our heart. So you touch this people, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now, Lord God, as you my shape. Lord God, we thank you right now for touching our bodies, our legs, our knees, our backs, our heads, our stomachs, Father. Lord God, for touching our emotions and our feelings. Father, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you. We glorify you right now. In the name of Jesus.
Come on and give the Lord some more praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It's offering time. Come on and give the Lord some more praise.